22 days to go and still no deal on the debt ceiling.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Jeremy Hobson. President Obama will meet again today with lawmakers from both parties in search of a deal to raise the nation's debt limit in exchange for massive deficit cuts. We are just 3 weeks away from August 2nd, which the Treasury Department says is the deadline to avoid a national default. So where do things stand now? Let's bring in Marketplace's David Gura live in Washington. Good morning, David.
Morning, Jeremy.
Well, any momentum going into today's meeting?
Well, heading into the weekend, President Obama was pretty optimistic. He went to Camp David amid rumors of a grand bargain. But then on Saturday, he got a phone call, the kind of phone call a president doesn't want to get at Camp David. It was Speaker of the House John Boehner with some bad news. He said Republicans weren't interested in the kind of deal the president wants, one that would save as much as $4 trillion over the next decade from cuts to Medicare and new tax revenue, which, of course, is code for raising taxes.
Right.
Instead, the GOP seems more interested in a less ambitious deal, one that would center on cuts. Last night, there was a meeting at the White House, Jeremy, but after that wrapped up, there was still no agreement.
Still no agreement. And so far, it seems like markets have been okay with no agreement because they think there will eventually be one. But we are getting close to that August 2nd deadline now, David.
Well, that's true. And over the weekend, Treasury Secretary Tim Geithner said that if Congress doesn't raise the debt limit, the markets could react negatively. I asked Gregory Miller about that. He's chief economist with SunTrust, a bank that's based in Atlanta.
The worst thing that can happen to an investor is to confront uncertainty and figure out how to price it into trading decisions, quite frankly.
And Miller told me that's what investors have been and are being forced to do. And yet yesterday, Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell said that nobody is talking about not raising the debt ceiling. He says there are contingency plans in place, Jeremy, but he's not saying what they are.
Marketplace's David Gura in Washington. Thanks, David.
Thank you.
Well, one place investors have turned to for safety is fossil fuels. They've been pumping their money into things like oil, natural gas, and coal. But a study out today says there may be a fossil fuel bubble. From the Marketplace Sustainability Desk, Eve Tro reports.
Fossil fuels are a huge part of the financial markets. Pensions, mutual funds, governments, most big investors hold major stock in oil, coal, and gas. The Carbon Tracker Initiative, along with accounting firm KPMG, says those investments may not be worth what we think.
Because the risks of emissions from fossil fuel burnings are not taken into account when the valuation of the companies is performed.
That's Olga Shistakova, an analyst at Point Carbon. She says investors won't factor in the risk of greenhouse gas emissions on their own. Only tougher regulations would push them. Kerry Krasinski follows environmental risk at Trucost. He says ignoring emissions could mean there's a bubble in fossil fuels.
Bubbles tend to form when people ignore risks that could otherwise have been anticipated.
He says companies and investors that measure the risk now and adjust accordingly could be ahead of the curve. I'm Eve Tro for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are down across Europe and Asia this morning amid new fears about Italy's debt problems. There are concerns that Prime Minister Silvio Berlusconi is about to fire his finance minister, who has been pushing for deep spending cuts. On Wall Street Friday, the Dow dropped 62 points to close at 12,657.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constellation, supporting customer choice and clean, efficient energy sources and technologies, working with customers nationwide to create a sustainable energy future. Constellation.com. And by Manta, connecting millions of small business owners and new customers every day on the web at Manta.com. Marketplace Entrepreneurship Reporting is supported by Farmers Insurance, trained agents committed to small business success, on the web at farmers.com.
In one of the largest cities in Syria today, there are reports of some of the heaviest violence since the government launched a crackdown on dissent a couple of months ago. About 10,000 Syrians have fled to refugee camps in neighboring Turkey, and the costs are piling up for the Turkish government, as Marketplace's Elisa Roth reports.
When there aren't any refugees, the population of Yayladağ is a little more than 6,000 people. It's a dusty border town. It has one main drag, which is lined with places like tea houses and small shops. You don't see a lot of refugees around because they're mostly closed in camps on the edges of town, but everybody knows they're here. Mehmet Akdai grew up in Yayladaw, and a couple of weeks ago, he got a job collecting trash in one of the camps, a job he says will probably double his income.
It's a filthy job dealing with trash. It causes sickness, but at least we have a job.
Until the refugees came here, he only worked occasionally. He would drive a tractor on other people's farms. But he's still worried about the Syrians being here. He says the town already has water shortages, and he wonders if Yayladaw can actually handle twice as many people. This bakery, which is on one end of town, has gotten some extra business because of the refugees. Talib Ferengi is the baker. He's putting flatbread after flatbread into the oven while he talks. He says people from the surrounding villages have collected money to buy bread for the refugees. It's happened a few times, and it's been a nice little bonus for the bakery. But Ferengi wishes he could sell more to the camps. The Turkish Red Crescent, which runs them, actually trucks in most of the supplies for the camps, including bread.
Of course, it would be better if the Red Crescent bought from us, but they don't buy from here. They don't buy anything from the local merchants.
His coworker, who's rolling out the dough, interrupts him to say, as if there were no bakers here, no groceries here. The mayor of Yayladaw says he's trying to find ways to help the refugees that would also let the town benefit more from the camps. But the unrest in Syria is causing other economic problems for the mayor to deal with. Yayladaw used to get a lot of its money from border traffic, and that traffic has nearly stopped since the uprisings in Syria began this spring. In Yayladaw, Turkey, I'm Elisa Roth for Marketplace.
And finally to Australia, where a key part of winemaking has been outsourced to man's best friend. A bloodhound dog named Louisa Bell has been trained to be a professional wine taster. She can sniff out a bad barrel and detect bottles that are corked. Her owners say her nose is 2,000 times more sensitive than a human nose, but she is not a fan of actually drinking the wine. She prefers a bowl of water and some dog food. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
Breakneck growth? Yep. Signs of new money everywhere? Got that. Total sensory overload? Oh, yeah,
The Ferrari's locked in the showroom.
Let's turn around for a minute and look at that Nike store. This is good. They've got Maseratis here, too. What's your make? What's that? Nobody wants to come and explain it to me. Can you say culture shock? I'm Kai Rizdal. China all week, courtesy of yours truly. It starts next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.